أهلا.
جاسمين،
يا زمان يا
شبوتوف، كوني،
good morning, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Marco.
Good afternoon. I'm receiving a lot of static, so please mute your phones by pressing star six. You'll be able to ask questions by unmuting your phone by pressing star six again. I have muted everyone's phone to avoid the background noise as well as the static. This is for the recording. So in order to ask questions, and questions are referred and requested and supported, please press star six on your phones when you want to unmute your phones so you can be heard. Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoah. Anna Bekoah, Yedulat Yemincha, Tati Tzera, Alpha Gimel Yitach Tzadik, Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu, Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayim Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamren Nun Gimel Dalet Yudkach Shin Barhen Taharen Rachame Sitkatcha Tamid Gablein Betet Reish Tzaditav Gimel Chasim Kadosh Hirov Tucha Nael Adata Tet Kufbet Tet Nunayan. The letters of the month of Iyar. The Pei that created the planet Noga, the planet Venus, and the Vav that created the constellation Shor, which is the Taurus, the bull. Together, the Pei and the Vav of a gematria of 86, which is the same gematria as the name of God Elohim, which is a name, an attribute connected to judgment. So we know that the month of the Iyar has a connection to judgment. But at the same time, we are told that the month of the Iyar is the month of healing. And it's a hint to us, a realization to us, that healing begins with something called self-judgment, self-evaluation. Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei zokre kidushata yud gimolamet hezayin kuf shavatenu kabel ushma tziyakatenu yodea talumot shin kufav tzadi yud tav. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'Chanun, Erech Apayim, V'Ral Chesed V'Emet, Notze Chesed La'alavim, Notze Avon Wafesha, V'Chata'a V'Nakei. We will now connect to a verse related to certainty. It comes from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. It is from Parashah Yitro. It's Pasuk 29. And I will start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kut shabarichu ishkinte bichilu urchimu dchilu dchilu urchimu li'ahta l'shem yud hei b'vav hei v'yichudah shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah v'yehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu la'asei. Ma'asei yadeinu konane aleinu ma'asei yadeinu konanehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tane Nan Dekudsha Barichu koma diaved leila witzata kolaihu kishot diovada dikshot beleid lachmila bialma ivae barnash bedach yaleya mine yaulam hagav beya kalana Dehaku ovada dikshot inun wikola itsterich bi alma. The year 5778, our current year, has the energy of bowing to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses that connect to this energy. The first is from 2 Samuel, chapter 13, verse 6, and we will study this verse first. Vayishkav Amnon, vayitchal vayavo, hamelech liroto, vayomer Amnon, el hamelech tavo, natamar achoti, utlabev leene, Shete levivot v'evre miyada. The second verse that connects to this energy is from Psalms. It's chapter 32, verse 5. And we will be studying Psalm chapter 32 this coming Friday morning. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year 5778, Tafshin Ayin Chet. The letters of this name are concealed by being separated by three letters each. Hatati odiacha la'avoni lo kisiti amarti ode ale peshai la'donai ohe wahe ve'ata nasata ha'on hatati sela. The year 5777, known as the year of the goats, but also the year of the wake up. There are also two verses in the Tanakh that connect to this verse, to this year, to this name. The first verse we study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Sod saduni katzipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters, we are able to create Satz ki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. And in the final letters, we have Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second year, the second verse that we study, is from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. This verse has concealed within it the name of the year Tafshin Ayin Zion, 5777. The letters are separated by seven letters each. Kim Vadonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadevaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. The year 5776, known as the year of the pause, also has two verses that connect to it. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ha'yulimat v'lo yachlu l'havshit et kol ha'olot v'yehaskum acheichem ha'levim ad kelot hamlacha v'ad yitkad sho ha'kohanim ki ha'levim yishrei levav v'yitkadesh me ha'kohanim. There are 25 words in this verse. When we take the first letters, we're able to transform them into eight names of God. Come in. I'm on the phone. Thank you. The second verse is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bichu v'Adonai Yohewahe Adead Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Tzur Olamim the year 5775, as the energy of the removal of death forever, the swallowing of death forever. The first of the three verses that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishem imeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The second verse that we study is for the year 5775 is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru, Uru, Mikol, Amachazoiyam, Asher Yitzhabe, Sham, Wishavtem, Eli, El Nahum, Wehalakti, Ethem, Wehaya, Im Yeshno, Varets, Vichi, Pasti, O To, Bekol, Alfe, Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kigelo lanetzah yoved roav yomru ayom. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse that connects to this energy, and that is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisam timakom le'amili Yisrael untati v'shakan tafta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher barishona. We will now connect to the energy of the 72 names of God. We do this by saying each letter of the names with their root vowel in sequence. Wahe wayo layo sayote ala me he shi la la he. Aka akaheta hezayo alada la awa heheya yozala mebehe hereyo hekome la awa kalayo la wawa pehela nulaha yo 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 me la he tehewa. Nuta he he a a yo re ta shi a he re yo yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re yo he wa la he he ya ka wa ko me nu da a nu yo he a me re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo ka wa wa la yo la he sa ala are yo ashila me he yo he wa he wa da nu yo he he shi a me me nu nu a nu yo ta me be he he wa yo nu me me yo la he re he me tsare wa me be he he anu wa he me he yo da me be me nu ko ayo a se be wa re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me. We will now connect to the 72 names from the Tzaddikim in the same manner. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo he anu a ka me ta he he yo anu da la he wa he me a yo tsa la me re he yo yo he me be la Wa wa ka be yo, la yo wa pe nu la. Nu me ha yo ke yo, me nu he, he he wa. Nu yo he, he shi ya, yo re ta shi ya he. Re la yo a wa me, la yo be wa he re. Yo yo wa la he he, ka a ko me nu da. Anu yo he wa me. Re he ya yo he za, he shi he me ka ha, wa wa la yo yo he, sa a la a re yo, a la me ta he, wa he wa da la yo, he yo shi a la me, nu he a nu wa ta, me la he pe a yo, nu ko me re la, he be he me za re. Wa he be, wa he, ala wa me za yo. Da he be, me ka ko, ala a, he he wa. Re la he, yo yo me, he la yo me he me. The names of the Tzaddikim who left this day, the seventh day of Iyar. Rabbi Shlomo Ephraim of Lunskitz. Don't you fall in love with these Polish and Russian and German names. Rabbi Chaim Moshe Reuben Elazari. And the eighth verse of the Anna Bekoch we say in a whisper. Today's class continues our study of the holidays and the energy days of this period. You'll find the handout on the unique astrological events link or times link underneath the two pictures on the right of every Hashem webpage. Or in the mobile devices, it's at the bottom of the page. When you open up this link, scroll down to Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Just above Rosh Chodesh Iyar, you will find a link that says the holiday of Pesach Sheni. Let me confirm. It's actually below the Rosh Chodesh Iyar. It's the third link below Rosh Chodesh Iyar. When you open up that link, this is our handout for today. Next Sunday, which is the 14th day of Iyar, is April 28th, the evening of April 28th through the sundown of April 29th. This is Pesach Sheni. Translation, second Pesach. As the Seder, it's almost the 30 days. It's 3 weeks at least. Does it seem long to you? Has time speeded up? Has time slowed down? What's your sense of time? This day is the second Sheni, is always the 29th day of the counting of the Omer. And if you recognize the energy from the Sefirah of that day, which is Chesed Shebechod, what is loving kindness in the frame of appreciation? During temple times, those who had been ritually impure so far, in distance or in consciousness, from Jerusalem, at the time of the Pesach sacrifice, on the 14th of Nisan, had a second opportunity to bring their Paschal sacrifice on Pesach Sheni, the second Pesach. This day is not recognized as a holiday, but it is considered a semi-festival. This means that there are some rituals during the prayers that are not done as usual. Usually we say Tachanun supplications, but not on Pesach Sheni. Many also have the custom to eat matzah on Pesach Sheni during the day. Just as on Pesach, we perceive the Paschal sacrifice being equivalent to eating matzah on Pesach Sheni. Those who did not participate in the Paschal sacrifice brought their Paschal sacrifice. Personally, I follow this custom and another custom that is offered by Rabbi Avraham Greenbaum of the Zamra organization, that the most appropriate time to eat the matzot would be in the evening, as the Pesach Sheni sacrifice was offered by day and eaten that night at a Seder, together with matzot. A Seder would be Saturday night this year. Thus, it is best to eat the matzah both Saturday evening and Sunday evening this year. What follows is the Torah's description, a relevant Zohar on the Torah portion, and an important essay by Rabbi Yitzhak Ginsburg. There are 9 verses that discuss Pesach Sheni. As students of Kabbalah, it's important to understand that the 9 represents Yesod, which is both a spiritual sefirah, but always connected in, sometimes in a limited fashion, but always connected to the Malchut. I'm just going to read Now I'm going to read the Hebrew as well as the English. Vayadaber Hashem el Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'shana hashenit letzaitam ma'eretz b'chodesh harishon lamor. Hashem spoke to Moses in the Sinai desert in the second year of their exodus from the land of Egypt, in the first month, saying, Vayashav b'nei Yisrael et ha-Pesach b'moado. Children of Israel shall make the Passover sacrifice in its appointed time. Be'arba asar yom b'chodesh hazeh bein ha'arba'im ta'ashav ito b'moado kikal chukotav u'chal mishpatav ta'asu oto. On the afternoon of the 14th of this month, you shall make it in its appointed time, in accordance with all its statutes and all its ordinances, you shall make it. Vaydaber Moshe el b'nei Yisrael la'asod ha-Pesach. Moshe spoke to the children of Israel, instructing them to make the Passover sacrifice. Vayasu et ha-Pesach barishon b'arba'a asar yom lachodesh bein ha-arba'im b'midbar Sinai Kechal Asher Siwa Hashem Et Moshe Kein Aha Asu B'nei Yisrael. So they made the Passover sacrifice in the first month on the afternoon, 14th day of the month in the Sinai Desert. According to all that Hashem had commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. Vayehi achnashim asher hayu tamayim lenefesh adam velo yachlu yachlu lasot ha-pesach bayom ha-hu vayerevu lifnei Moshe velefnei ha-haron bayom ha-hu. There were men who were ritually unclean because of contact with a dead person, and therefore could not make the Passover sacrifice on that day. So they approached Moses and Aaron on that day. Vayomru ha'anshin ha'chema elav anachnu t'mayem ha'yam lenefesh adam lama negara levelti ha'eriv et karban Hashem Bem Ado Mitoch Bnei Yisrael. Those men said to him, "We are ritually unclean because of contact with a dead person. But why should we be excluded so as not to bring the offering of the Lord in its appointed time with all the children of Israel?" Vayomer Alem Moshe emdu ve'eshemeya ma'yetzawa Hashem lachem. Moses said to them, "Wait, and I will hear what the Lord instructs concerning you." Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, Daber el b'nei Yisrael layer esh esh ki Hashem tamei lanefesh o b'derech rei kocha lachem o l'idratachem techem ve'asha pesach la'Hashem. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, any person who becomes unclean from contact with the dead or is on a distant journey, whether among you or in future generations, he will make a Passover sacrifice for the Lord. Bachodesh Hasheni Biarba'a Asar Yom Bein Ha'arba'im Ye'asu Oto Amatzot Umerim Yo'ochluhu. In the second month, on the 14th day, in the afternoon, they shall make it. They shall eat it with unleavened cakes and bitter herbs. Excuse me. It's a reminder of the effect of bitter herbs, I think. That was a joke. Lo yashuru mimehu mimehnu ad boker v'yesem lo yishberu Vokechal chuchat ha-pesach ye'atzu. They shall not leave over anything from it until the next morning, and they shall not break any of its bones. They shall make it in accordance with all the statutes connected with the Passover sacrifice. V'chayish asher hu tahor urech lo haya v'chada le'asot ha-pesach v'mikrita ha-nefesh ha-hi me'ameya ki karban ha-shem lo tikriv but me, oh. But me, I do. Kedo, ye sa. Haish, ha, hu. But the man who was ritually clean and was not on a journey, yet refrained from making the Passover sacrifice, his soul shall be cut off from his people. For he did not bring the offering of the Lord in its appointed time. That person shall bear his sin. Yeki Igor Echem Gariase Pesach Lashem Kachakach Ha Pesach Bekamishpatuo. Ken yaseaka ata acha echat yihielachem belagar ulazara haeretz. If a proselyte dwells with you and he makes a Passover sacrifice to Hashem, according to the statutes of the Passover sacrifice and its ordinance, he shall make it. One statute shall apply to you, to the proselyte, and to the native-born citizen. There are much to contemplate within these verses. One question that people might ask, should ask, in my opinion, we made the Seder. Why are we eating matzah? And if we're eating matzah, why not with bitter herbs? As it says. And the explanation that is given is because the temple does not exist. But the temple can exist. And if you wish to repeat the Seder, or at the least, study the Haggadah, this will be taken as a merit, in my opinion. I'm continuing to read. The Zohar, with regards to Pesach Sheni, I did not include the Aramaic letters, as this is a study that, while energy related and intensive, it's not as intensive because of the time limitations that we have. Let the children of Israel also keep the Pesach at its appointed season. Rabbi Yosef said, have we not learned that whoever shows a proper worthy action below is as if he made that above? Due to him, this matter is roused, and it is as if he actually made it, as we have already learned. As a unwritten commentary on this translation, if we just eat matzah on Pesach Sheni, we are stating that we are certain that we have perform the rights and privileges and obligations of the Pesach Seder correctly, fully. And there are very few people in this world who can ever make that statement. Continuing. If any man, meaning man was said twice, of you or your posterity shall be unclean. Why does it say man twice? It is a man who is a man and is worthy to receive the lofty soul. Yet he blemished himself, so the supernal Shekhinah does not reside with him. What is the reason? He brought it about by defiling himself. Therefore, man is said twice, that he is worthy to be a man, but he caused himself to be defiled, so the holiness from above should not be with him. A comment, unwritten comment on this pasuk. Every person in the world has been to a cemetery. And if he hasn't been to a cemetery, like he is a child that's never been to a cemetery, his parents have been to cemeteries. And when they come home, they defile the rooms that they are in. So the children become defiled. Everyone is defiled with the impurity of death in this physical world, in this generation. So the Pesach Sheni should actually be, and by necessity, apply to everyone. This is my opinion. Remember, you are in this generation because you have the responsibility to rebuild the temple. And one of the ways is to make sure that you abide by all that you can of the mitzvot. And Pesach Sheni is something you can abide by. Or be by a journey afar off. This is one of the 10 letters, actually the parashiot. There are 32 letters with dots. But on a journey afar off that has a dot in the Torah, all come to demonstrate something. What is afar off? What is its meaning? It is because a person that defiles himself is made unclean above. As soon as they make him unclean above, he is afar off, far from the place and the road on which the children of Israel are attached. He is attached to a journey afar off. He has removed himself from getting close to Hashem or close to Israel and to connect with you as you connect. Rabbi Yitzhak said, why is it written, shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or ought to be on a journey afar off? That seems to indicate that there are two things here, which is understood from the word or. Rabbi Yossi said, here is prior to having been made unclean. Here is after they made him unclean. It seems that neither this one nor that one will have holiness from above reside with them, and they will not observe the Pesach at the same time that Israel observes it. If you wonder whether he observes on the following month, even if he does not amend himself, it is not so. It is only after he has purified and restored himself. He has another month to perform the Pesach lamb. From here we take it that every person that purifies himself is also purified. That would imply on the spiritual level. If you will venture to say that he will find himself on a higher level that second month, it is not so. This is because the children of Israel, the holy offspring that prepare the Pesach lamb at its designated time, take the moon and the sun together as one. Whoever receives first the foundation receives the building upon it. What is the foundation? do not say that it is the loftiest foundation of the everlasting righteous, but rather the foundation of a precious stone. As it is written, the stone which the builders have rejected has become the headstone of the corner. For this is a stone upon which something lies. Rabbi Yehuda said, certainly he acquires all, even on the second month. It is not quite the same as if someone acquires the Pesach lamb on the designated period. What is the reason? It is because that the one who acquires the Pesach lamb service on its designated period receives from the bottom upward and does not regress, since we may promote to a higher grade of sanctity, but not degrade. The one who acquires the Pesach lamb past the designated time descends from higher to lower. Therefore, even if it is the same in everything, it is not equal. Since this one ascends and that one descends, and that one descends and does not ascend, therefore, whoever brings the Pesach lamb on its designated state is more worthy. Praised are the children of Israel who are meritorious in all. They are worthy of the Torah, and whoever is worthy of the Torah merits the holy name. Praised are they in this world and in the world that is coming. We are told that once the congregation of Israel is adorned with her crowns in the month of Nisan, she does not remove the crowns from herself for 30 days. So it is still possible to have a second Pesach in the second month. The mitzvot for the slaughter of the Pesach lamb and the delay of the celebration for those who are unclean or far away to the second date are laid out for us. The first Pesach is from the right, and the second is on the left. We now transfer within the Zohar to the Reaya Mehemna, to the faithful shepherd, to the soul of Moses who is continuing this teaching. It is a mitzvah to make a second Pesach for those that were unable or were defiled by any other uncleanness. If the secret of Pesach, which is the secret of the faith in which Israel entered, dominates in the month of Nisan, and that it is the time for rejoicing, how could those who were unable to prepare it on time or who were defiled make up for it in the second month, seeing that its time had already passed? Once the congregation of Israel is adorned with its crowns in the month of Nisan, she does not remove these crowns and adornments from herself for 30 days. The matron sits in her adornments all these 30 days, beginning with the day of the Exodus of Israel, since the Pesach lamb and all her legions are in a state of happiness. Whoever wishes to see the matron may look. And the proclamation calls, whoever did not get a chance to see the matron should come and look before the gates are locked. When is this proclamation proclaimed? It is on the 14th day of the second month. Since the gates remain open from then on the 7 days following that they lock the gates. Therefore, this is the second Pesach. This mitzvah entails the slaughter of the Pesach lamb at its appointed time. It reveals the first Pesach lamb date and the second Pesach lamb and cautions us to consume them in accordance with their laws. The unclean should be delayed to the second Pesach lamb date. That is a third mitzvah. The Tanaim and the Amoraim are persons who are like pure, mundane objects from the side of Michael, and they are those like mundane objects from the sacred, for example, holy meat from the side of Gabriel, like the priest and the Levite. They are persons who are like holy days, and they are like the Holy of Holies. The Shekhinah is the first Pesach from the right side, and the second Pesach from the left. The first Pesach is from the right, where Chachma prevails. The second Pesach is on the left, where Bina prevails. In Gibeah, all foreign fires are removed, which are like straw and chaff in relation to the fire of Gibeah. The unclean are delayed until the second Pesach. There is, again, much to understand from this Zohar, but again, because of time, this is not the place. We're going to read an essay by Rabbi Ginsberg, Second Passover and the State of Israel. Are they related? A momentous month. The State of Israel was established on the fifth day of the month of the year, the month of Iyar, in the year 5708, which was 1948. It's actually 1947 through Rosh Hashanah in 1948. When its Declaration of Independence was signed by its founders, on this day the Holy Land promised by Hashem to the Jewish people was restored to Jewish sovereignty for the first time in nearly 2,000 years. The 5th of Iyar is therefore known as Israel Independence Day, Yom Ha'atzma'ut. As momentous as this event was, the new country was devoid of both its heart and its mind. Its heart, ancient Jerusalem, the historic site of the Holy Temple, and the focus of the Jewish people's life and prayers remained under Arab occupation. And its mind, the Torah, which God gave us to guide our actions, was not recognized as the supreme legal and spiritual authority. And even while today, the Jerusalem has been reunited. The heart has been reunited with the Assembly of Israel, the Klal Yisrael. The mind is still separated. Unfortunately, even God's name is missing from Israel's Declaration of Independence. 19 years later, on the 28th day of the same month, Iyar, ancient Jerusalem was liberated in the Six-Day War of 1967. And then 50 years later, it was reunited, or it will be reunited. Was this past week reunited, so that the heart is completely connected. But there is a process to all things, so we cannot assume that the heart is there permanently. It must be brought into each and every child of Israel. That's the process that is ongoing now. This is my opinion. Originally, this verse signified that in Jerusalem, heaven and earth, the mind and the heart are joined together. The sages state that our minds and hearts are joined together when we pray. What divine service is performed in the heart? Prayer. Jerusalem is the heart of the land of Israel. And since the land of Israel is the heart of the world, Jerusalem is like the innermost chamber of the world's heart. As the site chosen by Hashem for the Holy Temple, Jerusalem is the focal point of of all divine service, and hence the focal point of all people's prayers and supplications before the Almighty. The prophet Isaiah also wrote that from Zion, from Jerusalem, Torah will come out. The Holy Temple in Jerusalem is the natural seat of both the mind and the heart of humanity, where the two can truly be joined. This unity was symbolized in the first and second temples by the Sanhedrin. The highest Torah court that convened in a chamber that was partially within the temple itself and partially outside. Unfortunately, because we have not yet merited to see the rejoining of the two, prayer and Torah study, on a national level in the modern state of Israel, Jerusalem Day has deteriorated over the years and is celebrated by less and less people. Indeed, there is a strong feeling of a chance that has slipped away, as if we were given a golden opportunity to finally end our long exile, or for whatever reasons, we're not savvy enough to use it. Indeed, despite these miraculous events, the modern state of Israel seems to be entangled in a deteriorating maze of crises. Terror and war threaten it on all sides. The custodians of the state daily surrender the Jewish people's rights to the land, relinquishing vital strategic areas to sworn enemies, while trampling on the principles most sacred to the Jewish people throughout the generations. The country is plagued by cultural rifts within its own society and along political, religious, and sociological lines, and is morally weakened by a spent national ideology that can no longer inspire its sons and daughters. It is now clear that all, to all, that through millions of Jews have returned to the Promised Land and physically rebuilt it, the state of Israel is very far from fulfilling the Jewish version of the true and complete redemption. Nonetheless, the sages explain that God heals us differently than a human doctor. A human doctor first sees the malady and then finds the cure. But God first creates the cure and only then inflicts the wound. Likewise, God has provided us with the potential to rectify the seemingly hopeless situation of the Jewish people in the state of Israel. If we examine the workings of divine providence, we can discern the cure in the circumstances surrounding the establishment of the state and the liberation of Jerusalem. This is a unwritten commentary. This past week, I read three different aspects. One, there is a population in the land of Israel of 8.8 million people. That is 43% of the population of the world's Jewry. I'm not sure if these statistics are accurate or not accurate, but it's what we have to work with. Also, the High Court, the Supreme Secular Court in Israel, decided that it is okay, it is acceptable, that on the Temple Mount, to say the statement, Am Yisrael Chai. I did not go into a lot of the details of why the suit was brought, but I understand it just on an intuitive level. Maybe that's a higher level, who knows? Maybe it's lower. Maybe my intuition is not that significant in this world. But on an intuitive level, the Muslims objected to the statement being said on near their their mosque. And the suit was brought. It entered its process. And coincidentally, this past week, it was declared by a secular court in Israel that to make that statement, even on the Temple Mount, is acceptable and proper. Are these two things related? Yes. Can you see how these two things are related? More than likely, most people will not see how they are actually unified. In the process, the one major mistake, I can't even say it's the one major mistake, one of the many major mistakes that the children of Israel have made throughout the centuries that separate them from Hashem, that separate us from Hashem, is to trust on other secular powers rather than Hashem. We see this in the declaration of the Kachba rebellion against Rome. We see this in the invitation by the Hellenists to invite Rome into the land to maintain order, which then developed into Rome being in control of the land. I'm going back before the destruction of the Second Temple, but after the destruction of the First Temple, after the rebuilding of the Second Temple. As we see history unfold, time after time after time after time, the prophets, written and posted in the Book of Prophets, have told us, do not depend on secular nations. And yet, even today, the reestablishment that Jerusalem is the capital of the land of Israel, the modern state of Israel, comes from a secular nation, the United States. The children of Israel had their capital in Jerusalem, but the world did not support that. The United States supports Israel. The United States made the declaration that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. It did not say that the Palestinians would not have their own state. It did not say that the Palestinians wouldn't have their capital in Jerusalem also. What will transpire in the future will transpire. We will be witnesses, or we will be part of the solution. This is a choice that each child of Israel has to make, whether you live in the land of Israel or you don't. Because Israel is a consciousness. Jerusalem is a consciousness. Where is your consciousness? I know we have exceeded time, and I'm going to take the time to read the rest of this page, because I think it's important. And I hope if you need to leave the conference call due to previous commitments, I understand. I suggest you listen to the recording. Healing with light, I am continuing to read. It is surely divine providence that the two most outstanding events in the relatively short history of modern Israel both occurred in the month of Iyar. To fully appreciate the significance of this, we must turn to the Torah, to Hashem's plan of creation. We must first consider the name of the month for Hashem creates everything, whether tangible entities and temporal or spiritual phenomena, through the spiritual energy contained in its Hebrew name. As an unwritten commentary, that sentence applies to everything, including your own name. If it's not a Hebrew name, it's your name. It's not your name, it's the name of your body-soul combination in this lifetime. As you take that sounds and relate them to the Hebrew letters, it becomes your Hebrew name. This is what we do. This is what I would like to automate, because I am so far behind in doing that for individual people. And it's harmful. The longer it delays, the more people do not learn about themselves, the more they are unable to make the proper decisions for their life. But it's a function of money. It's a function of programming. But it can be automated. It all can be made available online. And it will be when the world is ready. It will be when the world understands, when you understand, when other people understand. Continuing to read. The month's colloquial name, Iyar, is Aleph Yud Yud Resh, is cognate, means it sounds like the word light, which is Aleph Vav Resh, or. But this is its Aramaic name. In the Bible, there is one explicit reference to this month, and there it is called Ziv, Zion Vav, meaning brilliance or radiance. Zion Vav has a gematria of 7 plus 6. 13. Echad. It is a month of healing. It is a month of light. It is a month of unity. Are you doing the unification? That was an unwritten commentary. In Kabbalah, the word Iyar is explained as an acronym for the biblical words, I am Hashem, your healer. Ani Hashem Rofecha. Thus, the month of Iyar is the month of divine healing power, healing with light. The Baal Shem Tov applied the principle of healing with light in all situations. His advice, do not attack darkness directly head on, but rather disarm it with light, because a little light dispels a great deal of darkness. As a corollary to the Baal Shem Tov's teaching, and this is his teaching, as a corollary to expand upon that idea, and this is an unwritten commentary, light does not attack darkness. It swallows darkness. Because the Kabbalists ask the question, when you turn on the light, where does the darkness go? The darkness becomes part of the unity of the light. We learn this by the electric light bulb, that when the light is off, but another light shines on the bulb, we can see three components: a positive pole, a negative pole, and a filament. But when the light turns on, we only see light. The three components are still in the light, but they are unified in the light. They're not separated in the light bulb as they were before the light turns on. And when we turn off the light, Chas V'Shalom, we again see the darkness. We again see the three separated components. See this in the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov. A second chance. Why is healing with light particularly relevant to the situation in Israel today? And this was written a number of years ago. To appreciate this, let us examine the unique place the month of Iyar occupies in the Torah scheme of time. In the Torah, there is only one holiday in the month of Iyar. It is known as the second Passover, Pesach Sheni. It's on the 14th day of the month. Normally, we are commanded to celebrate Passover on the 14th day of Nisan, a month earlier. However, in cases when a person was ritually impure or too far away from the temple or from Hashem on the 14th of Nisan, and therefore unable to celebrate Passover by bringing a sacrifice to the temple on that day, the Torah provides a second chance, the second Passover. Although the Jewish year begins in the month of Tishrei, the months are counted from Nisan. Iyar is thus the second month of the year, both in the ordinal sense and in as much as it is in the month in which one is given a second chance. Every holiday in the Jewish calendar teaches us a basic lesson in how to fulfill our purpose in life, how to serve Hashem maximally year-round. The message of the second Passover and the general message of the month of Iyar is that it is never too late. No matter what situation we find ourselves in, no matter how low we have fallen, no matter how impure we may feel, or how far away from our life's goal we are, we can always, with Hashem's help, rectify our situation. And I will add an unwritten verbal commentary. We can rectify our situation up to and including the last breath that we take in this body. Continuing to read. And so it is with regard to the state of Israel. The fact that it was founded and its wars were fought and won in the month of Iyar teaches us that we must not despair. The power of light can overcome the darkness. It is never too late to rectify the situation. Our generation has been given the unique opportunity of joining the mind and the heart of our people and the entire world together. By spreading Torah, the light of Hashem, everywhere, we will eventually succeed in restoring it as the ultimate message of Hashem's greatest gift and blessing, peace and life. As Maimonides ends his discussion of the laws of Hanukkah, a holiday commemorating an earlier attempt to establish Jewish sovereignty in the land of Israel. The sole purpose of the giving of the Torah was to make peace in the world. And I am adding, this peace will start with peace in the Middle East during the year 5774 and will manifest with the Shemitah year of 5775, culminating in the lunar eclipse in Sukkot of 5776. How many of you remember these three events? The one event we speak of each year, each day, when we make our connections to the various energies of the various years. Consider what was said. Consider that it is not physically true. Or is it? continuing to reading, to read. This is a teaching of the Chabad Rebbe. Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, if someone becomes impure on account of a corpse or is on a distant journey, he may bring the Pesach offering on the 14th day of the second month. The theme of Pesach Sheni, literally the second Passover, which takes place on the 14th of Iyar, 1 month after Passover, is that it is never too late. It is always possible to put things right, even if one was spiritually impure or spiritually distant from its proper destination. Hashem still gives him an opportunity to change the past and correct the wrongs. On Pesach Sheni, one may have both matzah and leavened bread together with it in the house. It is not a festival. There is no prohibition of work, and there is no prohibition of leavened bread, except with the temple offering while it is being eaten. There are two methods of serving Hashem, the path of righteousness and the path of repentance, literally teshuvah, literally to return to Hashem. The path of righteousness is represented by the regular Passover celebration. Those utilizing this method fulfill their mission directly. They stay away from impurity and do what is required. But because they operate within the context of the limited material world, methodically elevating it and ascending through it, they must carry out their service systematically. Anyone who wishes to offer or eat the Passover sacrifice must be pure. There must not be any leaven or the spiritual impurities it represents to contravene divine consciousness. And even with all of that, it takes a full 7 days to fully integrate and appreciate the spiritual energies of the holiday. Pesach Sheni, on the other hand, embodies the approach of Teshuvah. I'm not going to continue. I think it's important that people not be spoon-fed. You know where the handout is. You know where you can find the reading. It's a half inch of the web page. I'm stopping here. Are there any questions? I will unmute the phone shortly. But until I do, I will mention that our classes today for the rest of the day, one is at 3 o'clock. It continues the teachings of the advanced reincarnation classes. And one is at 7 o'clock. Both times are Pacific times, where we will again count the Omer for this day. Tomorrow, Monday, we will have classes at 4:30, where we will have a deeper Zohar class on the Parasha of Noah. And at 7, we will count the Omer and continue our study of Shaarei Kedusha, the Gates of Holiness, by the Ari, as taught by Rabbi Chaim Vital. So I have unmuted the phone,
Esther.
And I ask, does anyone have any questions? You are welcome. Whoever said thank you. Are there any questions?
No.
Go ahead.
No.
You're welcome. So I bid you all shalom gadol.
Shalom, thank you.
Large amount of peace and serenity. Thank you. You're all welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Shalom.